Good morning, church. My name is Pastor Ben Zing. I'm the pastor of Evangelism Community here at Central. And last week, Clay started us on a journey on the road to Emmaus. This passage in particular has great meaning to my wife Annie and I, as we named our eldest son Emmaus. Annie was very convicted in the name, and his name constantly reminds us of this truth in the ways that that Jesus transforms and changes us with his life and gives us hope from having victory over death and having resurrection. Emmaus really loves his name, and he loves it even more when we explain what it symbolizes. When Clay mentioned his name in the sermon last week, Emmaus had a huge grin on his face. As Clay mentioned, in Easter, when you know Jesus and the gospel and his incredible work, your life is never the same again. Last week, as we began to study this journey on the road to Emmaus, Jesus was unrecognized to two people on their way back from Jerusalem back home to Emmaus. Clay identified the two as Jesus' uncle, Clopas, Joseph's brother, and Aunt Mary. And we also at times struggled to see Jesus for who he is because they didn't recognize at that time it was Jesus walking next to them on the road to Emmaus. In our grief, our doubt, our inability to trust God fully, we may be blind to his work, which begins in our hearts and is mirrored with our physical eyes not being able to recognize Jesus. So here we are in this scripture, what we'll be reading here soon in Luke 24, 28-35. We come to the same night to a meal where eyes and hearts were open. Here we see a significant meal, the first meal of a new creation, which Jesus was raised from the dead and began the work of renewing all creation. Our text says Jesus broke bread and gave it to them, and their eyes were open. From then on, our eyes are open to new life, to hope and meaning, to fellowship with God and one another. It was a start to new heavens and new earth. We still wait today. Are you living in hope of that living in light of that new hope? Let's turn together to Luke 24, 28-35. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, where he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is God's word. When we realize we're invited into the presence of the King, the truly powerful King, it changes us. Our hearts are changed. In his presence, our priorities are rearranged. When we're with him, we recognize our loves are disordered, and we give our hearts and our loves to the wrong things. Yet in his presence, he arranges them. He reshapes them for us. And he sends us out as empowered servants. Last week, Clay talked about the loss and grief Uncle Clopas and Aunt Mary had experienced. Along with all of God's people, they had lost Jesus to humiliation and death. They had lost the one they thought was the Messiah. They had hoped, in verse 21, we see that he would be the one to redeem Israel. All of their hopes and longings for someone to deliver them were now gone. Jesus was crucified and dead. But they failed to see that it was through the cross that they would be redeemed, released from their slavery to sin and death. See, they knew scripture, they knew the stories, and they knew what was to come, but they didn't fully believe and understand. We see in verse 15, Jesus himself came to them and walked with them. Jesus revealed scripture to them and showed all the ways that these things had to be fulfilled according to God's plan. The Messiah had to come and take on flesh. He had to live a perfect life for us. Then he had to be crucified in our place. Then Jesus would have victory by defeating sin and death in resurrecting from the dead, yet they couldn't recognize him or his work because of their grief. In those moments, we are tempted to believe that this is too hard, too difficult, that we don't have what it takes to do this. We look at what's going around the world and all the things that is going on, even here in our neighborhood and our families, and we know it's hard, it's difficult, and it's a struggle. During this coronavirus, whether maintaining a marriage that's broken or keeping ourselves to how to love our spouse or kids, or when nothing especially is coming back, or when we're even doubting our own life and what our meaning in life is or what we're supposed to be doing, when we're tired and weary, it's hard to recognize Jesus at work. It's in those moments, in despair, disappointment, and brokenness, when we are low and have very little to hang on, that Jesus meets us and opens our eyes and hearts when he asks us to come and be in his presence. Being in his presence is how we change. Look at verse 28. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. I love this part of the story because they had a long journey to Emmaus. And here Jesus was acting like he had a journey, longer journey to go farther. But they extended hospitality and invited him to stay. I love that they invited him in. They spent time with a person who thought that was a stranger to their home. Hospitality wasn't something uncommon, especially in that time. But they were welcoming somebody. They were welcoming someone in that they wanted so much more of an experience with. See, when we extend ourselves and do allow ourselves to serve some others, sometimes we think it's putting ourselves in with a burden. But do we realize how much we're gaining? It seems like a burden, but loving another actually brings about great love, especially love that comes from this stranger. Verse 30 and 31 shows us what happens. Jesus broke the bread and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. It's important to recognize that there's a big difference in knowing God's word and truly believing in the transforming work of his word in our lives through Jesus. I believe that many of us are now stuck in knowing God's word, but these are times that God is truly wanting us to trust and live out his word. It'll become apparent in our behavior, the way we live, the way we interact with God and others. How does this come about? Well, it comes about through not just learning more about God, though we do need to know it as much as we see Jesus review it and reveal it. So soak in God's word right now. But so much more important is to commune with Jesus, fellowship with him, who transforms and changes. God opens our eyes, and when we see Jesus, your life changes and is transformed for the better. And you see life through God's eyes and plans. What Jesus had to offer at that table was himself. The bread of life was given. It was his life given for us that brings nourishment to our souls. His life within us continues to nourish us, strengthen us, and encourage us in the midst of difficulty. When Jesus offered himself to them, their eyes were open, verse 30, and they recognized who he is. This is the passive voice. Something happened to them. They didn't open their eyes. Someone else opened their eyes, is what Luke is saying. Who is that? It's the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit who inflamed their hearts in verse 32. When the Spirit opened their eyes, their hearts were rekindled, warmed, and set ablaze with the truth that Jesus died and rose again and was right with them right then. It was in his living presence that they were changed. Jesus is inviting us as well into his word and invites us to be filled with the Holy Spirit that inflames our hearts, breathes life into us, comforts, guides, shapes us to live for him. He's alive in each of us now. He comes to encourage us, bless us, and like these two, change us. That change happens in us when in his presence. Just like Clopas and Mary. It's the same for coming to faith and for our continued growth and change. We change in his presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit, working by and working with the Word to reshape us into the image of Jesus. When we think of change in our lives, often we think about pruning. If I can just stop doing these things, then I'll grow. I'll be more holy. If I can just do these things more, I'll be such a good Christian. But not so fast. As much as we see transformation in our lives as things that are changed, it isn't in how we stop doing things or do more things for God that produces closeness with God. C.S. Lewis actually compares our lives to mirrors reflecting God. So as image bearers of God, our mirrors are reflections of God. If we're doing things that are making our mirrors dirty, then the reflection of God to others will be blocked, and people will see a blurry, dirty image of God through us. Perhaps our mirrors are turned away from Jesus. And if we're turned away from Jesus, how would we ever reflect Jesus to others? If our mirrors are distorted, like ones that we see in a carnival, the mirrors that make you taller or fatter or skinnier or shorter, then we distort who this Jesus is in our lives again because people aren't seeing the true Jesus reflected in us. It is when God has done the full work of giving us a new, clean, undistorted mirror that's pointed towards him, as we point it towards him, that we're showing the full image of God in our lives. And again, it's not something that we do more of or we do less of. It's having that mirror pointed in the direction of Jesus and allowing Jesus to continue to do that work in each of us. So as image bearers, we continue to seek growth that is reflecting Jesus in the things he loves and the people he loves. As we come into the presence of the glory of the Lord, beholding and reflecting his glory, we are transformed, changed more in what we reflect. We reflect whatever we are exposed to. So as we have been exposed, having the guts of our lives laid bare before him, he does the work of changing us and transforming us. It is his supernatural work within us. So the how we change, the how we're going to get transformed, the how we're getting this all done, is in the who. And that who is Jesus. Spend time with him in the word. Spend time with him in prayer. Spend time with him in fellowshipping, just communing with Jesus at the table. Lay out your needs, your loves, your desires, and ask him to reshape you. Having been in his presence, we're also shaped to serve God. I love this passage because Jesus is, again, he's spending time with the two, and it represents all of us, though, that as we commune with Jesus, we find our passion for him by leaving. We are equipped and prepared to serve him in his kingdom by having been in his presence, not by deciding to serve, but by trying to serve, but by being with him, we're prepared to serve. Verse 33, they rose that same hour in the dark after supper. See, they had to travel back to Jerusalem to verify all the things with the other disciples. I love that they're doing that together. The news was too good not to share. But Palestinians, especially them, did not often travel at night for fear of robbers or thieves on the road. But then they left right in the dark. They traveled the 7 miles back to Jerusalem. Why? Because their hearts were aflame. They had been with him. They had been with Jesus in his presence, and that presence of a loving, life-giving Savior compelled them to serve and go find others that are having that same experience. They had to tell and share with those that were still stuck in despair and hopelessness. They wanted to serve with joy. They were servants on fire because they had been with Jesus. And as we continue to lay out this passage, we see what had happened there. Look at verses 30 through 35. They rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." They went and they found the 11, and they verified together. They were affirmed together. They were seeing the confirmation together that God was at work. I can't tell you how many times I've seen God do that, and knowing that we're following him, and he's the one that's been orchestrating. He's the one with the master plan. He's the one that shows that he's orchestrating it all and confirming his work. So it's not just one person saying, this is the way we need to go. I've seen oftentimes here, especially at Central, when God's doing a work and as we're following him, he sends somebody else that shows that we're thinking the exact same thing and that it's matched together with a passion and heart, and he starts laying out the plans on how to love within the church or how to love our neighborhood, how to love our world around us. And God continues to do that over and over, sharing that he is the master planner. He's the one that's orchestrating it all. And all we have to do is continue to be servants on fire for him, just following his way and his will. It is being with him that they were compelled to serve him. It was because they experienced his incredible life, resurrected life, that they were willing to risk looking stark crazy before their friends. They had no idea what they would find at the end of the 7-mile journey to Jerusalem in the dark. The others may have thought they lost their minds. They may have all scattered. Perhaps they had been put to death too. It was risky as a disciple to serve and tell. And yet, they had been with him. They were strengthened by Jesus, and they wanted to serve him with great joy. It is being with him, fellowshiping with the resurrected Jesus, in his word, by his spirit, that we hear of his tender love, of his full and perfect pardon on the cross, and of his indwelling power for you and for me today. Here we are challenged again to enter into God's presence, to commune with him and see what he's doing. Over 20 years ago, I had begun as a youth pastor. And I remember one of my favorite things to do with our teens and our youth was something called Prayer Path. And we really wanted to gauge our youth to really get connected with God. In all the ways that we pray and see God in our prayers, there's so many guides and thoughts and ways to help people engage in that connection with God. But we wanted to give the teens a tangible way to feel it and know it. So we created something called the Prayer Path. We set up multiple stations in a big kind of our fellowship hall in our kind of gym. And we set up 11 stations. And the first 5 were dedicated to removing any hindrances or noise or things that would distract them from spending time with God. So one station was dedicated to noise. And we had a TV on with just the fuzzy black and white. And then noise was a symbol of distraction, and they would follow a guide and see what are things that are distracting you from hearing God. What are the noise and the fuzziness that's keeping you away from God? We had things like a mirror where they had to look at themselves and really assess the ways that they were not happy with the way that they looked. What was hindering them to seeing God as the creator of who they were and all the ways that God loves who they are? And take those away, and again, don't let them hinder them from spending time with God. Noise, distorted images on themselves, busyness, just anything that would hinder them from this relationship and talking with God was this journey from station 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And that would lead them to the center of the room, which was station 6, which was time with Jesus. There we set up very clearly a most comfortable space for our teens to spend time with Jesus. We had bean bags, comfy chairs, sofas, the ability for them just to lounge and really spend time with Jesus, praying, talking, journaling, thinking about all the ways that they wanted to spend time with their Savior, their Messiah, the one that's given them life. As they sat in that center of our fellowship hall in that space, you saw teens loving that time with Jesus. From that time, as they weren't rushed out of that space, they were inspired then to see what God is calling them to do with the ways that he's loving them and showing that love for others. So the next stations from 7 to 11 were all focused on praying and interceding for others, praying for family, praying for friends, praying for classmates, praying for those that don't know Christ yet, praying for our missionaries, praying for the ways that God is calling us to serve him and be used by him to, again, serve his kingdom, not our own. God reorientated all of our hearts through that tangible way of walking through this path. And this has been a life lesson for me now, just seeing the ways that we have worship and the order of worship and seeing the ways that we're getting into God's presence, it all leads us to fellowship with God, experiencing and knowing him. In that experience of what God is doing in our lives and adoring and worshiping him, he transforms us and changes us with what Jesus is doing. He shows us his truth. He shows us his love. And he shows us the ways that he's empowering our hearts to know that love, to be his servants, to be his people, to be his followers. We go from that place to love others, to pray for others, to serve others. In this time of coronavirus, we have to become extremely creative on what this looks like. I love the ways that God continues to show us that he will not be stopped. His love will never end, and he wants his people to continue to be deliverers of that love and truth to those within the church, to those out in our neighborhood, in our community, to our missionaries around the world that is spreading that same message to those around the world. So how are we creatively seeking the ways that we want to share this good news with those that are around us? That's something that God continues to ask us to pray and think and be together as a church. You're not alone in that. How are we going to do that all together as a church? We've been praying and thinking about ways to empower you. And we want to empower you to reach out to your neighbors, to love them, give them resources of how we can help, as well as how you can help and engage in a relationship, especially with social distancing and the proper ways to really love them. All the decisions that we're making now, I hope and pray that all of us would have the same focus on how to love others, how to be safe and loving in a ways that would protect our community, protect our church, protect each other, and all the decisions that we're making, all the plans that we're making are in light of the ways that we want to share the love that Jesus has given us to share with others. So Jesus continues to show us that being in his presence, it shapes us to serve. It shapes us to the ways that we are his children and his people to do his work. As we continue to just pray what that looks like together, I hope that we continue to see all the various ways that God is calling us to serve. It's so amazing because when we do our new membership class, one of the things that we get to do is share all the opportunities that we have here at Central. Internally, there are so many wonderful ways to serve at our church. We have multiple teams and multiple people that have allowed people to engage in the ministry of our church. And that's just usually on our Sunday services. But we have people serving all throughout the week in Bible studies, in discipleship groups, in the opportunities that we do, kind of loving and caring for our congregation. We also have so many external service opportunities, ways that we're engaged in work that loves our neighbors, loves our city, and loves those that need to know Christ. So continue to pray and seek how you want to get connected in serving those. One of the things that we encourage a lot of our new members especially is to get into your profile in MyCentral. There's something called MyFit, and that allows you to indicate your gifts and your talents, your abilities and your passions, your spiritual gifts. All of those put together allows us to put out different opportunities and needs that you can connect with here at Central. We would love for you to all engage in the ways that we can work together to serve. Serve our church, serve our community, serve the world with God's love. So if you have any questions about that, please reach out to us. We would love to help you get more engaged with MyFit and seeing your spiritual gifts and the ways that you can serve. So please reach out to me, Pastor Ben, at Central, and love to get you more kind of training and resources on how to find your spiritual gifts and the ways you can serve. With that, as we come to a close in this sermon, never forget, you're an ambassador of the King who delights in your presence and sends you out with his might. It all comes first in that presence with Jesus. So spend time with him. Spend time in his word, spend time in his prayer, but spend time with Jesus and see how he transforms and changes our lives. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your great love. Thank you for the ways that you show us your truth, your strength, and your changing of our hearts and lives in transformation for you. Lead us forward with your love that we would love others. and serve you and your kingdom with your plans and your ways as we trust you as the master planner. Lead us as we want our lives changed and transformed and never the same again. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.